He calms the storm so that its waves are still. Hear the sound? On WMIE 91.5 FM.
When the mountains look so big,
welcome to WGOD Radio, the radio ministry of Island Community Church. Your host for WGOD Radio is Bible teacher and translator Pastor Paul Esposito, senior pastor of Island Community Church, located in Merritt Island, Florida. And now here for today's program is Pastor Paul.
Welcome back once again to WGOD Radio, All Truth, All the Time. This is your host and speaker for this program. I am Pastor Paul Esposito, the senior pastor here of Island Community Church. God bless you. Thanks for joining us here today on this Tuesday. We're tuning into God's frequency now. God is always broadcasting. Let's just tune in our dials here into his frequency. That is the Word of God. The Word of God is living and active, sharper than any known sword out here today. It's the Word. It penetrates hearts. It discerns thoughts, intents. It even knows what we want to do. There's nothing like sitting under the Word of God and let the Word of God minister to us. And may he do that to you here today. Lord God, I just pray right now for all of these listeners out here today, my extended family as I consider them. Be with them today, Lord. Bless, minister to my extended family out here today. Speak to everyone through your word here today. We listen for your voice. Speak to us through your word. Help us to be doers of what we hear here today. And we magnify your holy name now, Lord. In Jesus' name we ask. Amen. We're in Acts chapter 10. We're looking at my all-time favorite sermon, perhaps the greatest sermon ever preached. Once again, it's the Apostle Peter. He's going to preach this at the house of Cornelius, and this will play today and tomorrow. We have Bible study tomorrow night. My associate pastor, Darren Solana, is heading that up. He's starting a brand new book Wednesday, 1 Thessalonians. I invite everyone to attend here Wednesday night at 6 o'clock. I encourage you guys, get into the Word of God during the week. To come to church in the middle of the week, it'll recharge your batteries and give you the strength to get through the rest of this week. This is an evil world out here, and there are things out here that'll sap your strength, or maybe there's leeches in your life that sap you of strength. Let me encourage you to get into the Word, and that is where your strength is going to come from. We would love to see you Wednesday night. Now, we're at 1,000 North Banana River Drive in Merritt Island. It's Island Community Church. This radio show is brought to you by the awesome people of Island Community Church. We would love to see you for our midweek service. Okay, this will wrap up tomorrow. This is part one of this sermon here. We're looking at the Apostle Peter. I've entitled this sermon, Grace, 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 because we're seeing unfold right before us the change in covenants. And they're having a hard time. The people are having a hard time accepting that. Peter is running into problems by his fellow Jews, especially with this vision he just had where God told him not to consider anything unclean anymore, from food to people. With that in mind, we're going to follow Peter as he's sent to the Gentiles now, and someone named Cornelius. Okay, let's get into the Word. You guys have an awesome day. Let's pick it up here with the Apostle Peter today. Okay, grace, grace, grace is the name of my sermon. Does everyone have one of these handouts? Or we could call this Amazing Grace, why I picked out that song here. But we always can sing that one, can't we? It's Amazing Grace. God's been good to us, hasn't he? We're having an excellent time here in the book of Acts. We're learning a lot each and every week, aren't we? I've learned a lot. Here's the main thing that I've learned this time around through the book of Acts. Because you'll learn something every time you study a book in the Bible, because the Bible is alive. Let me encourage you guys as well. I'd like to see some more folk coming out Wednesday nights for Bible study. Wednesday night at 6 o'clock, Pastor Darren starting a brand new book,
First Thessalonians this Wednesday, 6 o'clock. It's a much more informal service. We roll out the dry erase board. It's open for question and answers. And I invite you guys to come out on Wednesday night. It's an awesome thing to get into God's house, sit under the Word of God, and I promise you, you'll leave better than when you got here. And we all need to get our batteries recharged during the week. Amen to that? Now, here's the main thing I've learned this time around through Acts. What we're seeing Peter do in the book of Acts is a direct result of what the Lord Jesus told him back in Matthew chapter 16, where the Lord said to him, "I also say to you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. And I will give you." Now he's talking to Peter. He's not talking to me. He's not talking to the Pope. He's not talking to anyone else. He's talking to Peter. That's not a perpetual promise for you and I. He's talking to Peter. This special blessing, special relationship he has with Peter. He says, "I will give to you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. And whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven." Now, because the Catholics believe that Peter was the first pope, and everyone else now just minimizes everything that Peter does, and everyone minimizes the importance of his ministry and what's going on here. Now, I call that's throwing the baby out with the bathwater, which is always a mistake here. That's done with Holy Communion many times. It's certainly done with baptism. Listen to this church father. His name was Hippolytus. I call him Saint Hippopotamus. Now, this guy learned from a guy who learned from John himself. Back in the year 217 AD, he says, "Why should I get baptized?" He says, "Well, so that you may do what seems good to God. For Jesus has said, unless you are born again with living water, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven." Then this man says, "Therefore, flee to the water, for this alone can extinguish the fire." Now, that's all that the Church of Jesus Christ knew for some 1,600 years. That's just been changed recently. Now, my point is that comments like this from Matthew 16 get poo-pooed all the time by church teaching, unfortunately. It's never good to throw the baby out with the bathwater. Getting baptized is very significant. The taking Holy Communion is very significant, not to be taken lightly. Paul says, for those that take it irreverently, he said, some people are sick, some people have even died, not discerning the Lord's body. So, very important. Now, we're following Peter around here in the book of Acts. We left off last week, if you guys want to turn to Acts chapter 10. We left off with the Holy Spirit prompting both of these men. One was named Cornelius, and the other was Peter. Every time I hear the name Cornelius, you know, I've seen the Planet of the Apes too many times. It's Roddy McDowell, just, you know, Cornelius. Got to get that out of my head. Sorry I ruined that for you. Acts chapter 10, verse 5. You know, I've just never read or heard before the significance of all of these things that Peter is doing in the book of Acts. And it's easy to understand. Jesus told him it was going to be that way. He said, "I give to you the keys to the kingdom. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound up there. Whatever you loose will be loose." To see, I don't have the power or the authority or the ability to do that. Only Peter had that. Only Peter had that. All right, Acts chapter 10, verse 5. Now God says, "Now send men to Joppa and send for Simon, whose surname is Peter. He is lodging with Simon, a tanner, whose house is by the sea. He will tell you what you must do." All right, now down to verse 19. This is Peter's comment here. Or this is what the Lord said to Peter. Now, while Peter was thinking about the vision, now remember last week he saw this vision of this great big sheet that was coming down out of heaven, and it had all kinds of unclean animals on it, and he says, don't call what God has cleansed unclean. See, there's been a change in covenants here. So while Peter, this is Acts 10:19, while Peter thought about the vision, the Holy Spirit said to him, behold, three men are looking for you. Arise, therefore, and go down and go with them, doubting nothing, for I have sent them. All right, so Peter sets out on this 38-mile trip from the city of Joppa up to Caesarea. Now, let's pick it up in verse 24. Now, the following day, they entered Caesarea. You know, he must have got on the bus. I mean, who could walk 38 miles in one day? Could you guys do that? I couldn't walk. I mean, I probably couldn't even do it on a camel. 38 miles. It says it. I don't understand it. I believe it. The following day, they entered Caesarea. Now, Cornelius was waiting for them. And he had called together his relatives and his close friends. And as Peter was coming in, Cornelius met him, and he fell down at his feet to worship him. Interesting response, right? Especially since he had not heard of Peter. I presume maybe he was told about Peter while he was waiting. Maybe he heard the testimonies while he was waiting. Maybe he heard about old Ananias and Sapphira dropping dead for lying to the pastor and lying to God. Maybe he heard about Tabitha, the girl he raised up from the dead a few weeks earlier in the last chapter. Maybe he heard about Simon Magus, who says, your money perish right along with you. Maybe someone told him about what happened on the day of Pentecost. You see, those are some of the reasons, probably, when Pete got to town, the guy bowed down and wanted to worship him. Verse 26, but Peter lifted him up, saying, have you lost your mind? No, he said, stand up. He said, I myself am also a man. And as he talked with him, he went in and he found many who had come together. Then he said to them, you know how unlawful it is for a Jewish man to keep company with or go to one of another nation. But God has shown me that I should not call any man common or unclean. All right, so the vision of the sheet was not just food by Peter's comment here. We see the vision is referring to people as well, not just food. So it's food to people. What God has cleansed, you must not call common. What used to be unclean is now clean. What used to be unclean is now clean. Now, this woman at the well said this to Jesus back in the Gospel of John. She said, how is it that you, being a Jew, ask a drink from me, a Samaritan woman? For Jews have no dealings with Samaritans. See, it's very important to see that there's been a change in covenants now. Jesus has initiated a change in covenants. Things aren't like how they used to be anymore. I read this verse to you last week from the book of Hebrews chapter 8, where God says, behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. Not according to the covenant I made with their fathers in the day when I took them by the hand to lead them out of the land of Egypt. For this is the covenant I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says the Lord. I will put my laws in their mind and write them on their hearts. I will be their God and they will be my people. None of them will teach his neighbor and none his brother, saying, know the Lord. For they all will know me, from the least of them to the greatest of them. For I will be merciful to their unrighteousness and their sins and their lawless deeds I will remember no more. Now, that's some good news if I've ever heard it. What do you guys think about that? God has amnesia with your sins. That's some good news. That's a new covenant. There's no longer going to be sacrifices every year for your sins. God has put away all sins by one sacrifice. He has perfected forever those who are being sanctified. So, your sins and your lawless deeds I will remember no more. Verse 13. Hebrews 8:13. In that he says a new covenant, he has made the first covenant obsolete. Now what is becoming obsolete and growing old is ready to vanish away. Poof! Listen to me now. This is a real threat to Christians today. I've seen more Christians fall for this deception than for any other sin on the planet. Because it's not a deception to entice you to sin. It's not a deception to entice you to commit adultery or to cheat on someone or to not pay your taxes. It's not a deception to let it all hang out and live like a heathen. But it's a deception to have you think that you can draw closer to God if you keep and follow a particular set of rules. That's the deception. And the deception goes something like this. You know, people will lay this seemingly logical progression of thoughts on you. They'll say to you, well, Jesus kept Torah. All right, now, anytime you hear the word Torah, remember, Torah means law. No matter how much you want to butter that word up and make it mean something other than it means, the word Torah means law. So people will say to you, well, Jesus kept Torah. Well, true dat, he did, right? Paul kept Torah after he became a Christian. Now, that's a lie. He did not. Now, just because he tried to go to Jerusalem for Pentecost doesn't mean he still considered himself under the law. More on that here coming up in a few minutes. Just because he wanted to take a ship back for the day of Pentecost doesn't mean Paul considered himself under the law. He's got a lot to say. This is why they hated this guy for his teaching on this. So naturally, a train of thought will say, well, if Jesus kept Torah and if Paul kept Torah, then you need to keep Torah as well. Or the deception goes something like this. Walk where Jesus walked. Sounds beautiful, right? Everyone wants to go to the Holy Land. Walk where Jesus walked, or walk in the footsteps of the Apostle Paul and the Lord Jesus. I mean, that sounds very appealing, right? Nothing wrong with that. Then they'll hit you with eat what Jesus ate. When in Rome, do as the Romans do, right? Isn't that how the saying goes? Then they hit you with this roundabout kind of way. Well, Jesus kept Torah. He followed the Jewish dietary code. And then they say, nowhere does it say that you were not to keep Torah. And I say to that, I am a Christian. And you are, look, I am not Jewish. I'm not trying to become Jewish. I'm trying to become a better Christian. We're not Jewish. You don't need to try to become Jewish. You need to try to serve him. You need to try to reflect him better. Not try to become Jewish. I am a Christian. I follow the Bible. The Torah is not my book. The Bible is my book. The Bible is your book. Torah is a polite little way to say law. The word means law. Don't change it to something else. One day, my wife and I drove by a messianic church, and the sign in front of the establishment said, Torah, Torah, Torah. So Carol said to me, in a bit of brilliant wisdom, though she's brilliant many times, she says, why don't they just put law, law, law up on the sign? I mean, Torah means law. Why not just put law? Look, if law, law, law was on the sign, who would go to it? Why, pray tell, would you want to attempt to follow and keep the law in order to be right with God? You see, you get right with God and you'll do those things anyway. Because you'll have the power of the Holy Spirit to help you to overcome these things. But you can't put that on the sign, otherwise no one would go. And this is why law keepers hate the Apostle Paul. He is anathema to them, and he is a bad word. Now here's what he wrote. He said, sin shall no longer be your master, because you are not under the law, but you're under grace. Grace. Remember that? God's riches. This is what we're teaching Wednesday night. The acronym for grace. God's riches at Christ's expense. Mercy when we don't deserve it. We read in Galatians 3:13, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us. If Christ has redeemed you from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for you. Or the King James says he was made a curse. Can you imagine that? Just forming Jesus into sin. Grace. Receiving what we don't deserve. Mercy from God. In 2 Corinthians, this is what the Apostle Paul taught about Torah. This is what he said. Now remember, this is not, I'm just telling you what it says. I mean, if you love the law, and if you want to keep the law, and if you think you can keep rules in order to be right with God, or if you think that God's still calling you to keep rules in order to be right with God, here's what the Apostle Paul said. He says, 2 Corinthians 3:6, he says, the letter kills. Now, guess what he means by letter? Right, it's the Ten Commandments, right? The finger of God writing the Ten Commandments. The letter kills, but then he offers the alternative, but the Spirit gives life. The Torah is a ministry of death. Now, the Apostle Paul said that. The Torah, or the law, to use your own words, it means the same thing. So let's just, you want to change the law, or the words? All right, then I'll do the same thing then. The law, or the Torah, is a ministry of death. The Torah is a ministry of condemnation. The ministry of the Torah is passing away due to the revelation of the ministry of glory. Now, Paul also wrote, now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty, your freedom. So does everyone understand? Everyone's with me. Your holy religious book is your New Testament of the living God. That's your book. The Torah declares the soul that sins shall surely die. The New Testament declares, I'll take your sins for you. Big difference. What do you think? And those really are your two choices. Keep every rule and live, or allow the Lord Jesus to come in alongside and take your sins on your behalf. Well, that's what he's already done. He's already done the work. All you have to do is receive that. It's grace. So that's the meaning for my sermon title here today, church. Instead of law, you've been given grace. And I suggest that you try to put that on the church sign in front of your building. Instead of law, why don't you try putting grace out there? How about grace, grace, grace on your church sign? That's what I think we need out there in the front. Grace, 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 because we're all in need of grace. I'm in need of a little bit more grace. How about you guys? What do you think about that? It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. All right, now let's go back here to Peter and the unveiling of the new covenant. Verse 24. Now the following day, they entered Caesarea. Now Cornelius was waiting for them and had called together his relatives and close friends. As Peter was coming in, Cornelius met him, and he fell down at his feet and worshipped him. But Peter lifted him up, saying, stand up, for I myself am also a man. And as he talked with him, he went in and he found many who had come together. Then he said to them, you know how lawful it is for a Jewish man to keep company with or go to one of another nation. But God has shown me that I should not call any man common or unclean. Okay, so it's not unlawful anymore. Used to be unlawful. It's not unlawful anymore. Who you hang out with or what you eat, because there's been a change in covenant. Change in covenants. That's what we're reading. That's what we're discovering here. Verse 29. Therefore, that is, since there's been a change in covenants, therefore I came without objection as soon as I was sent for. I asked them, For what reason have you sent for me?
So Cornelius said, well, 4 days ago I was fasting until this hour. And at the ninth hour I prayed in my house, and behold, a man stood before me in bright clothing. And he said, Cornelius, your prayer has been heard, and your alms are remembered in the sight of God. Send therefore to Joppa, and call Simon here, whose surname is Peter. He is lodging in the house of Simon the tanner by the sea. When he comes, he will speak to you. So I sent to you immediately, and you've done well to come. Now, therefore, we are all present before God to hear all the things commanded to you by God. All right, now starting here in verse 34, the Holy Spirit will take over now, and you're going to receive the truth directly from the throne. Remember, the Lord says the Holy Spirit speaks what he hears. Now, verse 34. Then Peter opened his mouth. Now, let's read through this whole text, then we'll go back and look at it. Then Peter opened his mouth and he said, in truth, I perceive that God shows no partiality, but in every nation, whoever fears him and works righteousness is accepted by him. The word which God sent to the children of Israel, preaching peace through Jesus Christ, he is Lord of all. That word you know, which was proclaimed throughout all Judea and began from Galilee after the baptism which John preached, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. And we are witnesses of all things which he did, both in the land of the Jews and in Jerusalem, whom they killed by hanging on a tree. Him God raised up on the third day and showed him openly, not to all the people, but to witnesses chosen beforehand by God, even to us who ate and drank with him after he rose from the dead. And he commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that it was he who was ordained by God to be judge of the living and the dead. To him all the prophets bear witness that through his name, whoever believes in him will receive remission of sins. I love preaching that here in this church. You just throw it out there and wait and see what the Lord's going to do. Be it here, be it on the radio Tuesday and Wednesday when this plays, be it in a month when this goes on the air in Philadelphia, 6 million people. We do what he did, throw it out there and see what happens. Through his name, the name of Jesus, whoever believes in him will receive remission of sins. See, now this is my all-time favorite sermon in all the Bible. Let's make a little list here. A 10-point sermon here by Peter. Then we'll see what happens next. From verse 34, all right, first thing is God shows no partiality. I'm sorry I'm reading through these fast. But then again, let me slow down in case you guys want to write, because I don't have much left of this. God shows no partiality. That is, everyone has a fair shot. As many through his name, whoever believes in him will receive remission of sin. So God shows no partiality, number one. Number two, fear God and receive his righteousness and be accepted. Fear God. Remember, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. We also read in the Proverbs, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Starts with him. Fear God. Number three, peace is available to everyone through the Prince of Peace.
You have been listening to WGOD Radio, the radio ministry of Island Community Church. You are cordially invited to attend one of our services at Island. We meet Wednesday evening at 6 p.m. for Bible study, and Sunday morning service starts at 10:30. Island Community Church is located at 1000 North Banana River Drive in Merritt Island. The church's email is islandcc1000@gmail.com. Join us again next time for WGOD Radio, all truth, all the time.